National Lead Prevention Poisoning Week was just here recently, and even though that week has passed, it's still an important topic to talk about, and there's an important opportunity here in the area as well that's being led by the Southwest Iowa Planning Council here in our region to help mitigate some of these issues with lead poisoning and lead prevention, getting that mitigated from the problems that we have here in some of those older homes. And I want to talk about that here this morning. We've got Nicole Rhodes with us with SWPCO. She's the Lead Hazard Reduction Program Coordinator for SWPCO, and we're going to talk about these important things. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
It is pretty important, isn't it?
It is. It's a lot bigger problem in Iowa than most people realize.
Do you think most people probably think, what lead-based paint and stuff like that in homes? Didn't we get rid of that a long time ago?
I hear that all the time when I talk to applicants, yes. But there's still so many homes that were built before 1960 in rural Iowa, and that's where there's still a lot of lead paint. It can have been painted over numerous times, but it's still there and needs dealt with to be safe.
And this is homes that people might own and live in, or homes that people might own and rent?
We can provide the assistance to either owner-occupied or rental units. The investor owners, the landlords, do need to be somewhat fiscally involved, but it's very minor.
It's a bigger problem than just painting over or scraping off and painting and stuff, I assume, right?
Yes. Some homes, that is all it is, but there's a lot of homes that need abatement, so you either need to encapsulate, completely remove, maybe decks, porches, things like that just need wet scraped and repainted, but it's usually a combination of interim controls and abatement.
And what kind of, we're talking, when we talk about paint specifically, are we talking about the interior rooms, the exterior of the house? You mentioned decks, patios, things like that. It could be all of those things.
It can all of those things. And another area that I wasn't even aware of until I started in this position and went to a lot of training is it can be in your soil. And that's where a lot of children, they're the most affected by lead poisoning. They can be playing out, and dust from the paint on the outside of the home can get in the soil. Kids put their hands in the soil, put them in their mouths, and that's how a lot of times they get elevated blood levels.
So innocently it can happen.
Yep.
Without really knowing or understanding why and how. Talk a little bit about the risks to children. Before we get into the details of the program itself that you have available, what are the risks, especially to children?
Yes. This is a HUD program, and so they have very specific standards that our focus is on homes with children under six because they are the most susceptible. And again, it's more that the younger they are, the more susceptible they are to be playing with things, put hands in their mouth, just not, washing their hands like adults do, things like that. But there's a lot of risk. It really affects the nervous system, the brain. Most of what the studies show right now is it lowers IQs, a lot of intellectual disabilities, learning disabilities. And the hardest thing is it's completely preventable. But once the damage is done, it can't be reversed.
It's for life.
And so there's a lot of numbers and studies on it really affects, in the classroom, being able to pay attention, school, all of those kind of things.
And all of those things are bad. We don't want any of those things. And the rate of children that's affected here in Iowa is higher than a lot of folks would consider.
It is. Iowa's rate is four times the national rate for lead hazard in the homes. So, again, I think that's where rural, our homes are older, so that plays into it. But we do have a very high average of that.
Unlike in some metro areas, we actually do have soil around our homes.
Right, exactly.
Places are just concrete.
Yep, that plays a big role too.
But there are a lot of issues that that can be dealt with, but nothing is, even we don't want to get into that point where we're spreading that to the youngsters, but we can eliminate the risk, and that's what the program is for. I know you've got a lead hazard reduction grant program that's going to allow for some mitigation of these issues. Talk in detail about that program. How does it work? Who can apply? What should they look for?
Sure. So I think I mentioned this a little bit, but the two big criteria coming from the HUD, which is our funding source for that, is your home has to be built before 1978, because, again, that's where the majority of lead hazard paint issues are found. Mm-hmm. They actually feel like most of that was dealt with, stopped using after 1960, but they've extended that to 1978, just for the cutoff. Again, children under six is what we're really looking for to prioritize. We do have in our grant agreement that we can do some homes without children in them, but it's a very small. We want to focus on homes with children under six because they're just the most susceptible. And usually adults, they may have elevated blood levels, but not like children do. So those are the two big, you know, if you hit those two, those are your top two eligibility criteria. The other one is it is an income-based program. And so homeowners need to be under 80% of the area median income. And that, without getting into a lot of details, we have income specialists that do that. And so there's a lot of, it's not just a flat number. It all kind of goes into assets and things like that. So we have income eligibility criteria. If you meet those three points there, then after that you're pretty much approved, and then we have two lead inspectors at SWPCO, and very experienced. They're wonderful. The next step is they would schedule a time to come out and do a lead inspection risk assessment, and we do have like a top high quality XRF machine. A lot of areas around us that I know we've even been reached out to about, they're very hard to come by. A lot of places don't have the XRF machine, and they literally, like in one home, go and shoot like 1,000 spots in the house to find out where those hot spots are for lead. So that's, you know, the lead inspector comes out, does his inspection, lots of paperwork, big report. Those are sent to a lab. And then after that, a scope of work, is drawn up, what work needs done in the home. It can be interior, exterior. We do have limited amount of funds, so it has to really come down to the biggest priorities in the home to fix those. And then we put that out to contractors for bids, and away we go with the work.
So someone calling doesn't have to know that they have lead issues. You're going to find that out for them.
Yes, and most people, the ones that call that their children have been tested, and a lot of times that happens, every child in Iowa has to be tested prior to going into kindergarten. So sometimes parents have no idea that their children has an elevated blood level and find out at that moment. And some people just call in and have said, I saw your flyer. My home was built in 1902. We could possibly have lead. Yeah. And so a lot of people don't know that until we send the inspector out.
Sure. Now, is the process pretty complete? You've talked about how they're going to come out and do the assessment or whatever. Is there a lot of paperwork involved for the homeowner?
Initially, the most paperwork is on the income eligibility side. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say it's overwhelming. It's just, you know, verifying bank account information and retirement funds maybe and things like that. I mean, it's probably paperwork that can be filled out in half an hour to 45 minutes.
Stuff you might do for a loan, for
exactly.
example.
Exactly.
That type of thing. Yep. So it's nothing out of the ordinary that folks would not be used to anyway.
No, not at all.
And then if they come back after the testing and find that there are some issues that probably do fit these guidelines and you are eligible for this program, mm-hmm. the follow-up is pretty quick?
It is. It's basically goes on our inspectors' schedules. And so obviously when we know there's lead hazards in a home, we want to get that taken care of as quickly as possible. So it's, and with HUD, one of their regulations is the lead work has to be completed within 10 days. So from start to finish, that does sound like a long time. It could be 2 days, but that's the maximum. If it's going to go beyond 10 days, we get an exception. I mean, it happens, but the lead work definitely we want tied up in that shorter amount of time. We actually do have Healthy Homes funding that goes along with this grant. And without getting into too many specifics of that, if we get into the work with lead abatement and find an energy or a safety issue, we have Healthy Homes funds that we can use for other things that aren't related to lead if it became a part of the lead process. So if someone, you know, they get in and drywalling and find a problem with a plumbing issue in the wall, we have some funds we can address that as well. So it's really kind of a round rounded program that we can get the home in better shape and safe for everybody.
Okay, very good. So trying to take away some of those fears that, oh my gosh, what if they find?
Yes.
So anything to not get people involved, we've tried to allay those fears
right. Just
a bit there too. So, all right, very good. So you still have some space left in this program or we wouldn't be talking here today. So if they think they might be interested in following up on this, mm-hmm. how would they do that?
Yes, the easiest way is to just call our office. Because we do need to get some upfront information from the individual, and then we will send out the application following that. So calling our office here in Atlantic is probably the best bet.
Okay. And is it just for folks in a certain area, your service area?
Our region, yes. Okay. So our 7-county region.
Okay. Yep. So Cass, Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Montgomery, Page, and Shelby, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Very good. So if you're listening in any of those counties and you think that you may be interested in following through on this lead hazard mitigation program, then check it out and give them a call there at the Southwest Iowa Planning Council. 243-4196 is the telephone number there, and Nicole would be happy to help lead you through that process, correct?
Correct, absolutely.
All right, very good. Nicole Rhodes is the Lead Hazard Reduction Program Coordinator with the Southwest Iowa Planning Council, sitting in here with us today. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.